basis for it. So we'll be asking, where is the basis? If it does not have a basis in the Sharia, then who are So the basis of it is where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the companions, all of them distributing the Quran like that. If we don't have that, it's an innovation. It's not only that to be rejected, the one who does it is to be punished by Allah. It stands to be punished by Allah. So it's not just that to be rejected. So it does not have a basis. And we have found from the Sunnah, Imam Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shayba reported an asar from Umar ibn al-Khattab that once one of the governors in one of the cities, regions, that Umar radiallahu anhu appointed as a governor, they gathered the people once and said they want to make adhkar. They want to pray for the Khalifa, Umar ibn al-Khattab. They want the Ummah to progress. Is the intention good or bad? Good intention. They want Ummah to progress. The things are not working well. We want this, and all that. So when Umar heard radiallahu anhu, he said, call that governor, call those people. And they invite them, ask them, who told you to do what you do? He told the servants, get me a door there, a nice wire that can flog somebody. He asked the person to be flogged. He said, from where did you get what you are doing? So this is evidence that people gather and say they are making dua. It does not have any basis in the Sharia, except in the cases where the Sharia has permitted things like that, like Salatul Kusuf. Because somebody can say, you say it's not permissible to gather. You say, yes, it's not permissible. What about Salatul Kusuf? This is not for me. That has a basis. We ask you the same question we have asked you before. Ha'alehi amruhu, does it have the authority of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Definitely you say, it's permissible. You say, it's not permissible to raise our voices in Azkar. What about talbiya we make in Hajj? You say, simple. Does it have the authority of the Prophet? If you say yes, we say yes, it's permissible. If you say no, we used to do it, people used to do it. We say no, those people are not the reasons. He didn't say in as much as people are doing it. He said, Laysa alayhi amruna. It does not have our sanction. He says, Fahuwarad. It will be rejected. So it's a very simple matter, no matter how emotional people become about things like that. So, and since the time they have been bringing the Quran down, what has happened? Nothing has happened. Even when, unfortunately, people in those situations, they don't read the Quran properly. People race to complete the Quran. Especially if the hosts, the unfortunate hosts, because most cases, these hosts do not know that those things are wrong. Those same so-called malams, are those who make those things, who beautify those things for them, making them to feel that it is Islam when it is not Islam. Allah understand. So the host, if he had placed that anyone who finishes a juz, it's usually in ajzako, juz, anyone who finishes a juz will have 1,000 naira, then you see the people in action. You finish one juz, 1,000 naira. Immediately, in 15 minutes, 1,000 naira. It collects another 1,000. So this is the kind of thing. So who are they deceiving? The book of Allah or themselves? Surely themselves. وَمَا ظَلَمُونَا وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. They're deceiving themselves. So those things are not permissible. There are aspects, there are things, and there are easy ways to make dua. But people do not exploit it. Sometimes because people do not know, and those same malams will never tell them, because when they tell them, they think that their means of survival will be closed. But if you told the people the truth, does it mean that your means of survival will be closed? Have they forgotten that for وَيُؤْمَرُ بِأَرْبَعِ كَلِمَاتِ بِكَتْبِ رِزْكِهِ وَعَجَلِهِ وَعَمَلِهِ وَشَكِيٌ أَوْ سَعِيدٍ, that their arzak had been written? If they told the people the truth, it will not increase it. If they didn't tell the people the truth, they will be punished, but it does not also increase it. Why not tell the people and still have your arzak that has been written for you right 40 days when you were in the womb, after you got into the womb of your mother? 120 days. It's been there, waiting for you. So why are you deceiving the people to get the same thing that you have to get? So, those things are not permissible. There are many periods. He said between Adhan and Iqamah, there is dua la yurad. There is dua that is not rejected. When it is raining, there is dua la yurad. Dua is not rejected. When somebody is on safar, there is dua la yurad. With so many incidences, but people do not make use of. Siyahuddik, when the cock crows, is opportunity, because it says in an authentic hadith that he sees an angel. Make dua. All this, make dua. But the people fill their houses with pictures and dogs. So even when they make the dua is made, but sometimes they do not even also make it at the right time. When they go for Hajj, they are doing a lot of innovations. They miss all the periods. Nafat and all those people we are talking about, they leave Arafah in the most important time of Arafah. The most important time of Arafah that the dua is best answered is just shortly before Ghurub al-Shams. This is the time they are preparing to go out of Arafah. How is that? And in the morning of Yawm al-Jam'i, that is, when they leave Arafah on the night, they go and pass the night at Muzdalifah. After Salatul Subh, when the sun is beginning to rise, that is the time able men and women are supposed to leave Muzdalifah. That time, there is period of istijaba. They rush. They have already gone from the time of Salatul Subh. Have they not also missed it? At Safa and Marwa, you hardly see them standing there. They have also missed it. Four places. Because the ulama mentioned seven places where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed long making dua. So the ulama say, if there is nothing at all about those places, alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet would not have stayed there making dua for a long time. So they have missed these four. And then they are also going to miss the three jamarats because they don't know it. When you stone the Jamratul Kubra on the first day Yawm al-Nahar, the 10th day of Zulhijjah, you are supposed to wait. As you stone, you face the Qibla, you make dua for yourself, it will be answered by Allah's mercy. They don't use it. And on the other days, the other days of Ayyamu Tashriq, they are also supposed to stand in Jamratul Sugra and Wusta. They don't do it. They also miss those ones. So the seven places are missed. So the way he went to Hajj, that's the way he will come back. He missed all the places for Adiyah. Because of what? Innovation. And then thinking that, so they now gather them. I have heard with my eyes, with my ears, and seen with my eyes. They gather the people on the day of Arafah between Zuhr and Asr, and then before they leave the place, they start making dua, shouting, this one donated $100. This one donated 50 riyals. May Allah bless her. If you don't donate, this is Arafah. Allah is seeing you. People will start bringing their money. You know, hard currency is deception. We are deceiving the people. All these things are innovation. The first, or about that, because about 4 years ago, they did the launching of an Fountain University that they are building on Arafah. Launching in Arafah. I was not told. I saw it and I heard them. I was seeing them like this. And I was hearing them with my ears. At the time, people are supposed to sit down, make adhkar, think about Allah, think about the messenger, think about how to better their deen when they return. So when they return, they still go back and start selling good and harp. Because they never use the opportunity the Hajj provides. So all these innovations, nothing comes from them except loss. Allahu alam. Alaykum as-salam.
Ayakum Allah. I want you to explain what you just mentioned to that may somebody who is like to go home. Considering the normal voice that is supposed to do, many things that you just mentioned now, as regards how one does a car ordinary in Bangladesh. And considering I'm trying to think that how do you want to bring it, I just want to say also explain where the Prophet said Abu Bakr to raise his voice in this and told Umar to bring down his voice. And for example now, I come to the masjid, maybe I want to do something. also part of my thing, maybe I just want to read a book before it does that, and it's reading Quran. At that distance, is it compulsory for me to listen to this Quran when I don't have that object for coming to the mosque? Or how do I do it?
Well, if he's reading to himself, I think this was well explained. If he's reading alone, somebody is making tilawah of Quran, he should read to his hearing. Read to his own hearing. This is what the ulama say about louden, getting the voice to be loud. You can read Tafsih al-Dua or Sheikh Bakr ibn Abdullah Abu Zayd. He gave these, in fact, from the very beginning sections. He gave very detailed explanations about the issues of raising the voice and things like this. And that's not away from the instructions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq and Umar ibn al-Khattab while each of them performed nawafil from the verse in Surah al-Isra. It was the end of Surah al-Isra, taking from that verse. And also from a verse in Surah al-An'am and following the explanation of Aisha radiallahu anha, that those who go to excess are those who raise their voices when they make adhkar. So but someone comes into a masjid and the people are listening to the qira'ah of a qari like this in the masjid. If someone comes in, perhaps it's not intending what they intend. If he's able to go on with whatever he wants to do, he wants to read Sahih Bukhari, let him be reading his Sahih Bukhari. And the people should go ahead, because what they are reading and listening to is mosque-wide. Well, if it is not mosque-wide, we can tell the person to lower his voice. If you come into a masjid and you see the people listening to the Quran like that, even when you had not intended that, if you can do what you want to do, go ahead, do what you want to do. But if you can't, listening to them is also zalika khair, is also from khairat, perhaps even better than that, because this is Allah's book. Allahu a'lam. Alaykum as-salam. Yes, someone can decide to read the Quran silently if he's making nawafil. If he's making nawafil, can read silently. That is reading silently to follow the instructions of the Prophet. That instruction does not indicate that he should read silently.
It indicates he should not read it silently. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, now you decide to read it silently to read the Abdullah. So I want to understand. Can someone?
No, the use of silently is the matter here. We have mentioned that when we make adhkar, the basic rule is that we make the adhkar, each of us make the adhkar to his own hearing. He makes the adhkar to his own hearing. So he is reading the Quran in tahajjud, he can read to his own hearing. If somebody is performing the salah with him, read to the person's hearing too, because he's expected to be following the salah. And this has happened in many of the tahajjud, when the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, about eight of them at different times, from them Huzayfa ibn al-Yaman, from them Abdullah ibn Abbas, from them Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, from them Abdullah ibn Umar, and four others that I can't remember. Different times they performed tahajjud with the Prophet. In that of Huzayfa ibn al-Yaman, he told us he read Baqarah, Ali Imran, and Surah al-Nisa in one single rak'ah, alayhi salatu wasalam. If he was not hearing it, how did he know what he was reading? So that's if you are reading it to people. You read to their own hearing too. But if you are reading alone, you are alone. You read to your hearing, you would have fulfilled the requirements in that verse. Because you would not have been loud, and then you would not have been excessively low. But generally also for nawafil, the ulama gave permission also for making nawafil silently. In fact, they say if that is what will bring greater concentration, then read silently. Or that one hears that there can be some issues of riyah, which can destroy the ibadah in itself, fear for himself, and then just read the, make the recitation to be silent. Allahu alam. Jazakallah khair. Alaykum as-salam.
As regards the hadith you explained on the issue of when the cock crossed in the moon or in the night, I think in the moon, that the Prophet said, I want to ask the question, like, does the hadith there, because of the way you mentioned,
that it brings, it sees a malaika?
And now, that doesn't mean that you say that you use the figure of the hadith that you are asking Allah from His rahmah, or is saying that you should just read du'a generally?
Is all of it, because the malaika do not go to an environment except that there is khair there. That's why, that's one of the evidences that it is not permissible to hang pictures in the house. Al Imam al-Nawawi brought istinbat from that, alayhi rahmatullah, that what it meant is that hanging the picture is an act of sin, so the angels do not go to a place where sin is done. So it meant in the opposite, and from other ahadith, that they go to places where khair is done. So when it says, okay, because it sees an angel, then it means that khair, the circumstance, the hal, the condition is one that is nice. Else they run away from those kind of conditions. That is, they run away from conditions that evil are perpetrated. You understand? So you can do it for that condition, that this condition is a nice condition. Like someone finishes performing hajj, it's a nice condition for you to make dua. Someone finishes performing a nice act of ibadah, it's a nice opportunity. Or finishes seeking forgiveness from Allah, it's a nice opportunity for making dua. So all the conditions of goodness and obedience to Allah are conditions wherein dua are answered, because of the general healthy situation that such things bring. So you can ask because there is rahmah, you can ask because yes, there are other things that make us understand that the situation is nice. Allahu a'lam. Alaykum salam.
As regards to the YouTuber that I just mentioned earlier, I don't know how true or how authentic that is. I've been highly the issue of maybe one of the Sahaba that normally makes the YouTuber during the program, and he was kind of a dramatic language. I don't know how to use that.
The story is weak, very weak, perhaps fabricated. It's in Al-Bidayah and Nihayah, that Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul was always giving the sermon before the Prophet. And in fact, he went to the Prophet and the Prophet said, go ahead. He always gives sermon before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Jummah in Medina. Don't forget that Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul was a munafiq. So let's even, if, but it is not, if it is considered authentic, do you take evidence from the action of a munafiq, or you take evidence from the prohibition of Allah's Messenger? This does not serve evidence in any way, whether it is authentic or not. But it is not authentic. It is proven not to be authentic. But it's unfortunate that some of the people like to do something and they are looking for evidences. They did not find any except the action of a munafiq. Allahu Alam. There is also some of what they say. Maybe I should say some of these too. They say that Abu Huraira kana yuhaddithu an-nasa yawm al-jum'ah qabla al-khutbah. That Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu will give hadith to people. There are several explanations the ulama gave to that. The first explanation is that there is nothing that says that Abu Huraira is aware of this hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. There is nothing that says so. Especially when you consider the fact that Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went, he was sent out of Medina, but he soon came back into Medina. But from the early times of Islam, people like Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As had gone to Ifriqiya. They came to Africa from the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. From the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, people like Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, he came with his father to Africa. And they had started the jihad from Misr to other North African countries. So it is not impossible that Abu Huraira is not aware of the hadith. Not every companion of the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is aware of everything that the Prophet said. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is one way of looking at it. The second way of looking at it is that the Prophet says, if the Prophet prohibited it alayhi salatu wasalam, nobody will make it halal. Nothing can make it halal again except another statement from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the Prophet is ma'asoon. The prophet is never erring regarding the message. Any other person can err regarding any aspect of Islam. But don't take this for a misunderstanding that companions err. A companion will err, but the companions as a jail, as a group of people, do not err. The companion as a group of people never err. But a companion can err. The companion, a single companion can err because it's not a messenger. But all of the companions, the group of the companions cannot err because he said, La tajtani wa ummati ala dalala. So that's the evidence that they as a group cannot err. But as individuals, a person can err. Even when the Prophet was alive, alayhi salatu wasalam, a companion can err. And he'll be corrected. So that Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu did something that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had prohibited us, it's not evidence that we should do it. Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiallahu anhu, he considers ice as not breaking the fast. If somebody is fasting, you can be taking ice, blocks of ice. Talha ibn Ubaidillah is a companion. He considered it that it's halal to take blocks of ice. Other companion said, no, it's haram. It's the same thing. It's not permitted. It's the same thing with water. But now, do you say because Talha radiallahu anhu would take ice, then you take ice? Do we understand? So a single companion can err about a matter, but all of the companions cannot all err. As a group of people, as a jail, they can't. But as one, two, three person, they can err. But if you find the statement of a single companion and you do not find the statement of any other one, to follow that single one is better for you than to follow your own intelligence. So that action of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu is not evidence. The evidence is in the statement of Allah's Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. Alaykum as-salam. So to make the khutbah is haram. It's not permissible. Allah didn't send anybody to do that. It's not, you see, that someone has a sincere intention does not make an evil action to be correct. A girl is making zina. He said, please don't make zina. Say, ah, no, I'm sincere. I say, ah, sincere with zina. At least, I'm relieving the psychological tension of those men who she commits zina with. You say, ah, how can you be relieving somebody's psychological tension when you are not his wife? So the same way we say to them, at least some people are benefiting. You know, when they come to the mosque, you can make them, you want to make somebody benefit from what you have been prohibited. They will not be punished for your pre-khutbah, but you will be punished for your own pre-khutbah, thinking that you want to benefit the people. And you know what? Brothers, most of those pre-khutbah, Allah has removed his barakah from it. So they talk, the same thing with the khutbah of Jummah that is prolonged. So they prolong, they'll be talking, on the day of Jummah. The day of Jummah, the khutbah of the Jummah is not a dars. It's not a ta'aleem. That's why it is called khutbah. You never read any hadith where it is called ta'aleem. Even when people can gain knowledge from it. It is khutbah, admonition, brief. Just tell the people, wake up. Don't sleep. Brief. And make the salah long. Today is reverse. Salah is inna atayna kal-kawthar. Khutbah is hours. Some people who make khutbah, they will faint on the minbar. You've not seen it before in this kaduna? That people are making khutbah and they faint on the minbar? It's what's happened in this kaduna. People make khutbah and they faint on the minbar. Who faints then that one? So when the member will be threatening, who is born down Nigeria, who will do this, on the day of Juma? Long time. So some of all these things does not have any basis in the Sharia. From that also is writing khutbah and distributing khutbah, reading the khutbah like you are reading Arba'un al-Nawawi. It's an innovation. It does not have any basis in the Sharia. People write khutbah and then print it and distribute it. So as the imam is reading, they are looking at it. Let me tell you, many people have been praying Jummah, but they don't have reward for Salatul Jummah. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu and one of the companions, they were seated on the day of Hijjumah. So one of them touched something. So after Salatul Jummah, if I'm not forgetting, it was Ibn Masud that was telling the second companion. He said, you know what happened to you today? You don't have Jummah. If I'm not forgetting, it was Mu'adh ibn Jabal. You know, today no Jummah for you. He said, why? So when the khutbah was going on, you touched something. And it said, وَمَنْ مَسَّ الْحَفَى فَقَدْ لَغَى. And the one who touches the pebbles, laga, he wasted his Jummah. So how is that? What about somebody deliberately opening the pages of anything? Has it not lagged? Many wastage. Unfortunately, they are thinking that they are doing something that is correct. You see, they don't have any basis in the Sharia. Prince Khutbah distributed, everybody carry Khutbah, selling the Khutbah at 10 naira. All those things don't have any basis in the Sharia. So if people don't, Islam has come. The Prophet alayhi salam was alone. Today there are about 1.2 to 1.4 billion Muslims in the world. He alone. So do you think that he came alone to teach us how to perform Salah and Zakah and does not have to teach us how to make the same da'wah? So if we remain the way he has taught us to do things, Islam will move ahead, Muslims will make benefits, and people will understand Islam as it should be. But when people want to make shortcuts and corners, then people will understand any other thing thinking that it is Islam, and it will not bring any benefit to them. Because it is not the length of speech that convinces the listening mind. It is Allah that brings the hidayah. It may just be just 5 minutes. It may be 2 minutes. It may be just 1 minute. It may even be just a single kalima that changes everything. Khutbatul Hajjah, we told us that hadith. At the time of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, a Muslim and a non-Muslim had a disagreement regarding a matter, and they invited the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, to judge the matter. The Prophet came, alayhi salam, when the matter was narrated to him, he said, Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu, wa nasta'inuhu, wa nasta'firu, wa na'udhu. And he started saying those things in Khutbatul Hajjah. The non-Muslim was saying, please, is this your Lord, you are praising like this? That was where he accepted Islam. He said, so all these things you are saying, you are praising Allah. Or that somebody is in the masjid sleeping, they go and stand him and wake him up and tell him that you must perform this tahajjud together. It's not known in the Sharia. It does not have any basis. Someone who is tired should relax. Nobody made it obligatory that somebody has to perform tahajjud in the night, in the month of Ramadan. He's tired, sit down. You want to pray, pray. You want to sit down, sit down. You want to pray, pray. But someone sits down, you come and say, no. Badaka zona, da'anampa. Say, kari salah. From where is that? From which deen is that? It has no basis in the Sharia. Ikhwan, do you know that a kafir that has inclinations to Islam is allowed to stay in the masjid? The hadith of Jubair ibn Mut'im. Jubair ibn Mut'im was a kafir. He was a kafir in Medina. He said when he was walking all around, he just felt that he was tired. He was looking for somewhere to relax. He came and sleep in the masjid of the Prophet, sleeping. They were performing Salatul Maghrib, and the Prophet was reciting Surah Al-Tur. Alayhi salatu. He said, when he woke up, when he was hearing Surah Al-Tur, the first thing that came to his mind was to accept Islam. So today, even Muslims are not allowed to sit down in the masjid. You must join the Karatu. So all those things don't have any basis. How much more people who are outside the masjid? People can have their own hijack. So when you say, no, you have to do this, you have all those ilzamat, they don't have any basis in the Sharia. So Islam is what Allah and His Messenger has legislated, or have legislated. But that some people legislate what they want and say it must be from Islam, Allah does not accept anything like that. And that's why I told His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam to tell us that man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahuwa rad. So let anybody say, no, you can gather to read Quran. At least we are preventing them from going to a native doctor. Who sent you to prevent them to go to a native doctor by something that has been prohibited or that's not basis in the Sharia? Do we understand? Can you say somebody is worshiping three gods? I say, no, don't worship three, worship only two. Be worshiping two gods, don't worship three, because three is many. Worship only two. The one who is worshiping three gods and the one who is worshiping two, is there any difference in them? So you say people will go to some malam inside, they'll be doing things that are innovatory to them. And you bring another innovation. Is there any difference between the two of you? So you don't replace innovation except with sunnah. And something cannot be sunnah except it has a basis in the sharia. Hadith, Quran, jariyan amal salaf salih. Allah al-Musta'an. We are supposed to read the hadith of Tamim today. And that is the seventh hadith, al-hadith al-sabi' in Arba'un of al-Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah. Subhanallah. Okay. This hadith has been reported by a companion who was a Christian, radiyallahu anhu, Tamim Abu Ruqayya, Tamim ibn Aus al-Dari, radiyallahu anhu. Tamim was a very beloved companion to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the ninth year of Hijrah with his brother Na'im. His Tamim, he came with his brother Na'im to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But he has something that is so specific and exclusive to him alone. In this ummah, nobody saw Masih Dajjal except Tamim. Al-Masih Dajjal, that will come at Akhir Zaman, Akhir Waqt. Nobody saw him face to face except Tamim ibn Aus. He saw him at that time, he was a Christian. He came to Medina and became a Muslim. Meanwhile, because he came in the ninth year of Hijrah, the Prophet had been telling the people, alayhi salatu wasalam, about Masih Dajjal. He had been telling the people about Masih Dajjal. So when Tamim met Dajjal, he met Dajjal, Allah wanted him to meet Dajjal. Because it was some accidental. They were traveling on the sea. And then there was wind. This hadith is in Sahih Muslim. There was strong wind. So the wind began to carry their ship and they lost direction and then they found themselves on an island. He said, radiallahu anhu, that when they embarked or disembarked their boats, they saw an animal, they saw a creature, huge. The creature is referred to as Jassasa. We are not talking about Masih Dajjal, but we are talking about Tamim. Don't forget. So they saw a creature called Jassasa because he mentioned its name. It mentioned its name later. Tamim said, radiallahu anhu, that it was so hairy that he cannot recognize its frontal aspect away from the back. He can't say this is his face, this is the back. So hairy. So he said a certain, وَيْلَكْ مَنْ أَنْتَ. Say, I'm a Jassasa. Say, I'm Jassasa. So what is Jassasa? He said, what is Jassasa? I said, don't ask me questions. If you want to be asking questions, there is somebody tied down there, go and be asking that one. Tamim said, when he said there is somebody, he said he felt that he is not a human being. Because if he's a human being, he will not say, like you, someone like you there. He said, so Jassasa left, and they left Jassasa. So they went to the place where he said, Tamim said, he had not seen a creature, radiallahu anhu, he had not seen a creature as giant as they saw it on the ground, tied and chained on the ground. They asked it, they started to ask the question, and he was responding. He asked them that, has the messenger come from Makkah? They say yes, the messenger has been raised. He asked them, has he moved to Medina? They say yes, he has. Before they said, did the people disbelieve him? He said yes, many disbelieved, but yet many followed him. Say, has he migrated to Medina, the land of palm trees? Tamim said, we said yes, he has migrated to Medina, the land of palm trees. He said, it would have been beneficial that the Arabs accepted his message. So he asked about a fountain somewhere in Palestine. He asked other question. So when he finished asking, he now said to them that innani anal masih ad-dajjal. I am al-masih ad-dajjal. So when Tamim radiallahu anhu returned to land, to known land, he came to the Prophet Muhammad. He narrated all these incidences to the Prophet, and all what he had been narrating to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam are what the Prophet had been narrating to the people about Masih Dajjal, and they had actually believed him. Because the companions believed that it's from Gabe, but now someone from them saw it, but they believed it not because they saw it, radiallahu anhu. So this is evidence that those people who say that Masih Dajjal is trained, this hadith of Tamim refutes them. Those people who say that Masih Dajjal is not a human being, it's a system, this hadith of Tamim ibn Aus refutes them, because Tamim saw the human being. If you say that it's a lie, you are belying the messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. You know why? When Tamim radiallahu anhu narrated to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, this another area of exclusivity for Tamim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, it was Salatul Asr, he called the Salah, and after the Salah he said nobody should stand up. The Prophet said haddathani Tamim. There is no one the Prophet will say regarding I haddathani companion. No, you make the hadith and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam. The Prophet does not make the hadith from you. So the Prophet was saying haddathani. So we are saying if you deny that Tamim saw Masih Dajjal, you are saying that the Prophet is a liar, because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has included himself in the isnad of Tamim. So Tamim, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, then the rest of the companions, if you deny this, you are saying the Prophet is a liar alayhi salatu wasalam. So it became something the ulama of hadith rely upon. They say riwayatul akabir anil asagir, the riwayah of more eminent from the less eminent. The riwayah of the more eminent is Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. The less eminent is Tamim. Because the Prophet narrated and said, haddathani Tamim radiallahu anhu. So the Prophet was telling the people what Tamim had told him regarding Masih Dajjal. So Tamim was very beloved. The Prophet loved him alayhi salam. He was a Christian before. How we hope the other Christians to accept Islam. So he came, he accepted Islam in the ninth year of Hijrah. And by the end of that year, the Prophet died, alayhi salatu wasalam, in the tenth, early period, around Rabiul Awwal, the Prophet died. So he stayed a very little time with the Prophet, alayhi salam, compared to other companions. But before the Prophet died, he had memorized the Quran. Radiallahu anhu. Tamim. He memorized the Quran before the Prophet died, because one of the companions was saying that from amongst those who memorized the Quran at the time of the Prophet, he was mentioning Ubay, he mentioned Salim, he mentioned some other companions, and then he mentioned Tamim. It showed how, they say, Al-Khabaru Laysa Kal-Mu'ayyana. That you heard something is not like you see. The fact that Tamim saw Dajjal, and then Allah has been talking about Dajjal, no doubt would have played a great role in his zeal and interest about Islam. So he memorized the Quran. And he was mentioned to be Kasirul Kira'a wa Tilawa. Always is reading the Quran. Always Tamim radiallahu anhu. Always reading the Quran. Always Quran. Always Quran. Wa Kasirul Qiyam. He was mentioned also always standing in the night making tahajjud. Always standing in the night making tahajjud. So when Uthman ibn Affan was killed, Tamim radiallahu anhu, he left Medina and went to Sham. You know, he said alayhi salatu wasalam, إذا ظهر الفتنة فالإيمان بالشام. When the fitna comes, Iman will be in Sham. So he acted and then he went to Sham. He died in Sham. He died in Philistine in the 40th year of Hijrah, a year before Amul Jama'ah, the year of the handover of Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib to Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. So this was how the eminent companion radiallahu anhu, Tamim, lived his life, summarily. He lived his life as a very learned person. When he got to wherever he got to, it was Quran. People come learn Quran from him. Look at short period. He accepted Islam. Before a year and about 3 months, he memorized the Quran and became so conversant with it. And his kunya was Abu Ruqayya. Ulama said that was the only child he had. Tamim had only Ruqayya. So he was named Abu Ruqayya. He had only one child called Ruqayya. So this is from the exceptions. Else, kunas are taken after male children or any other thing. The kunya are basically taken after male children or any other thing, like Abu Zaid, Abu Omar, Abu Abdullah, Abu Abdurrahman. But that people like him bore Abu Ruqayya in the kind of generation that he bore Abu Ruqayya is indication for the permissibility of taking a female name for a kunya, even when the best is to take the male name for a kunya or any other thing for which you are known. Like Abu Huraira was known with his hair, with his cat, and for that he was known. Even when he prefers, radiallahu anhu, to be referred to as what? Abu Hir, not Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira himself prefers to be referred to as Abu Hir, radiallahu anhu, rather than Abu Huraira. But he's been popular with what? Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. So that shows that we can take kunya with names of male names, most preferable, female names, permissible, and then the names of any other thing. If we go into this hadith today, we will not be able to finish it. But I think it suffices that we have mentioned the companion of the hadith, and that was Abu Ruqayya Tamim ibn Aus ad-Dari, and the fact that he was so beloved to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that from all human beings we know, the one we know who has met Al-Masih ad-Dajjal face to face was Tamim ibn Aus ad-Dari, radiyallahu anhu. أقول ما أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. When we were talking about the iman of the companions, about the words of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, about something they have not seen, and despite the fact that they have not seen that thing, they still believed it. What about those ones that they saw? Will they not believe it? Of course they did. What they did not see, they believed. The one that they saw, is that the one they will not believe? Radiallahu anhum. So, something quickly came to the mind. That when Allah says that, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَةِ, Allah will destroy riba, and He will nurture charity. And we are seeing riba failing. Isn't mankind seeing today that riba is failing it? Mankind is seeing riba is failing. And yet there are some Muslims who still say, in fact, and that's where I'm going. Ahmed Mahmoud Gumi said, he wrote to me, Ahmed Mahmoud Gumi, that they refer to as a sheikh, sent an email directed to me, but seen by others, saying in it that didn't Allah say, didn't Allah say that يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ riba? And yet we are seeing economies of the Western countries that is based on riba. We are seeing it flourishing. He says, so it is flourishing. Muslims are making benefits. So don't say that it is haram. Do we understand? So is Allah lying when he says يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ riba? Allah will destroy riba. You say Allah will destroy riba. Are we people not making? So because people live in houses that you can refer, how many people make suicides per day? The man doesn't know much about what he himself is saying. He doesn't know much about himself. How many people die annually in the Europe and Western world from suicides daily? For whatever reason. Because they are tired, they feel that they are tired. So what success has riba brought to them? Do we understand? Someone has all the money of riba. Yes, there is no problem of NEPA. There is no problem of water. But yet it's not happy. And yet the people who have problem of NEPA, problem of water, they are still feeling there is hope in life. So who has really succeeded? You see, those are the things. So because people enjoy air condition, they have more problems than they think that the people have in other parts of the world. But aside all that, does it not suffice that Allah says, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ رِبَا وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy riba and he will nurture charity? Does it not suffice for a Muslim to believe that yes, whether it appears that riba is succeeding or not, Allah will destroy it? What did he say? Did he not say, لَا يَغُرَّنَّكَ تَقَلُّبُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي الْبِلَادِ مَتَاعٌ قَلِيلٌ? Don't be deceived. Look at, don't be deceived. People like Gumi are deceived now. Ahmad Gumi, who comes here every Ramadan, is deceived. He's deceived. He said worse than that, Ikhwan. He said that the same thinking, the same falsafa, that you are saying that democracy is bad, democracy is bad. We are seeing democratic countries, they are having stability, they are having growth and progress, that the kind of which we did not have at the time of Khulafa'ur Rashidun. Wallahi, he said that. He's even defending it. Yesterday, he sent some mails again. He said, you don't understand what I'm saying. Let me tell you what I'm saying. He said, if I say democracy is better, it's a government that has brought greater stability and progress to mankind, more than the kind of what we had at the time of Khulafa. Change that democracy with transportation, that today we have better transportation system than we had at the time of the Prophet. He said, change it with medical health, that today we have better health than we had at the time of Khulafa. He said, change it with, you know, so you bring all the indices of governance. I say, okay, don't say Khulafa, say Prophet. Don't say Khulafa or Rashidun. Say at the time of the Prophet Muhammad. Then how can he be wa innaka la'ala khulqin azim? How can he, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the companions be kuntum khaira ummatin ukhrijat linnas? How can we say khairun nasi qarni thumma alladhina yalunhum thumma alladhina? How can this khairiyya, how can it be that the best human being, the best leadership, was the leadership of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Michael Hart is a kafir who listed the first 100 men, the first 100 most successful human beings on earth. Michael Hart, the first person was who? Muhammad. For Gumi, Muhammad will be the last person. He will be the last person. So George Bush is better in leadership. The leadership of Bush was better than that of Khairul Anbiya or Rasul, the one who traveled to the heavens to discuss with Allah. Ibrahim alayhi salam is Khalilur Rahman. Musa alayhi salam is Kalimullah. But Allah spoke to Musa on earth. Musa was here. He brought Muhammad above the seven heavens to talk to him. Alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is the one he is comparing, and he's comparing his companions with democracy. So something is really wrong with the man in his head. So you start wondering, where is the iman? Anyone who has true iman will not say this kind of a thing. And when you are reminded that, look, do you know the implication? You start saying, no, let me explain to you what I mean. I did not make a mistake. You start giving all these tafsilat. So people are drunk. Unfortunately, when they come here, ignorant, useless people start running after them. Allah, uselessly. People whose heads should be cut off. Because if it were in the rules of Sharia, this is what they will say. We are not saying we should go and start cutting Gumi's head. But we are saying that if we are in the rules of Sharia and he says what he says, this is what will happen to him. So you will wonder, where is the iman? Where is the iman controlling what comes from the mouth? Where is it? Where is it? That if somebody is a child of a learned person does not mean he will enter al-jannah. Let him not be deceived by that. Someone said that to him. That someone is the child of a scholar, my father and a scholar, he doesn't take you to al-jannah on the day of Qiyamah. He says, ضرب الله لكم ضرب الله مثلا للذين آمنوا إمرأة نوح إمرأة فرعون before that she ضرب الله مثلا للذين كفروا إمرأة نوح وإمرأة لوط كانتا تحت عبدين من عبادنا صالحين فقامتاهما before that they were the words of the prophet of Allah did not do anything to them. نبي نوح son and such that when Allah spoke to Nuh alayhi salam, it was a statement that he said he had to seek refuge in Allah. He said, Rabbi, innabni min ahli, wa inna wa'adaka al-haq, wa anta ahkamu al-hakimin. So, qala ya Nuh, innahu laysa min ahlik, innahu amalun ghayru salihin, fala tas'alni ma laysa laka bihi ilm, inni a'iduka an takuna min al-jahili. Qala Rabbi, inni a'iduka an as'alaka ma laysa li bihi ilm. Ulama said that indicates that his asking Allah about his son was a sin. That's why he was saying, "Wa illa tagfirni wa tarhamni akum min al-khasin." See, he Nuh alayhi salam considered it a sin to have asked that question in the first place. He's son of a Nabi. Or you compare Nuh alayhi salam to Sheikh Mahmoud Gumine. Shaitan bayn al-sara wa al-suriya. So people should know their limits. My father and a scholar, he does not come there on the day of Qiyamah. The Prophet told this to Fatima. Salini Mashit, ask me now what you want. Because on the day of Qiyamah, my father is Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's not there. Your Iman. What he says is, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. So let people like Gumi not be deceived. And really, Ikhwan, these kind of things make you doubt. Are people really true to Shahada, Ashhadu Anna Muhammadan Rasulullah? If someone believes that Ashhadu Anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and then he will say this kind of thing. And if it does not stop, we have said he should change it to the Prophet Abi. You will see that he will say it one day. Yes. He will say it one day. If it does not stop at this, you will see he will say it one day. He will say something worse than that about the Prophet Muhammad. You will see. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Because people get, you know, worse when they perpetrate evil. Someone kills somebody today. Do you think he's now afraid the way he was before he killed that one single person? If he kills today again, tomorrow, do you think he gradually becomes nothing to him? There was a day, there is a tribe in southwest, southern Nigeria, specifically Ogoni, because this is around where I grew up, around the south. So we're talking to one of them that, is it true you eat people? He said, yes, they eat people. He said, you, I asked him, have you eaten somebody before? He said, yes, he has eaten somebody before. I said, tell me how you kill the people and you prepare them. Wallahi, he was describing how they prepare it, how they would kill somebody, in how they put the person in the drum. How the skin, he said, this skin is like mama. He said, if you put it in a goosey, so you know, so you start to imagine the animalism in him and barbarism in him. But you will not see any sense of remorse. He said, the sweetest part of human beings are their buttocks and their bottoms. Their buttocks and their laps. He said, but for women, he was mentioning parts of women that, according to him, are sweetest and nice to eat. So you see, now this kind of a person, do you think he will find it difficult to kill somebody? Even if he will not eat that person. The same thing applies. When someone is free, thinks he has a free mind to talk about the companions, to talk about Quran like this, to talk about things like this, you will see what will end him in the way and in the kind of things that he will say about Allah and his messenger. We seek Allah's refuge from the evil of this kind of people. As-salamu alaykum. Alaykum as-salam.
In a case which is being sold in Quran of the case of audio tape, I saw, when I walked there, I saw a case written as therapy as a topic. So I borrowed and went home to listen to it. And it was the
speaker.
So I listened. All what I could get from the little time I listened to was empathy negating the claim of those who call themselves as Palestinian. Very empathic about it. Negating their creed, trying to say they are they are nothing but in error. So I that they are the young that come to fire.
Don't bother about that. If somebody has malaria and he tastes honey and says, "Say this honey bitter," oh, what will you say to him? You say it's because you are sick. So that is the answer for him. You say, "Oh, this honey is bitter, oh, it's bitter." And people say, "Ah, sorry, it's because you are sick. That's why you think honey is bitter. Else, honey." Allah understand. Now,
I have a question pertaining to the issue of the Quran.
MashaAllah.
To recite, is that you tell that person to recite, like in a group, like, they recite all, so that means just pick up and you are just forced to
recite. That they told them to recite is basic, it's what is known. What is known in the Afar is that the companions will tell one of them, read to us the Quran, and the rest of them will sit down and listen. This is what is known. But I do not know whether any of them just stand up and start reading. But if they are reading, there are also cases where the rest will go and sit down to listen to the Qira'ah. He's reading, they listen. So as they get more, he increases his voice. That's not also wrong. Allahu Akbar. These are the ones that I can remember now. But from Zikr al-Jama'i, like he said, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, is Majalisul Halal wal Haram. Sitting where halal and haram is discussed is from Majalisul Zikr al-Jama'i. Because you are doing those things collectively. You understand? Alaykum as-salam.
Abu Musa al-Ash'ari was told by the Prophet to recite the Quran for him.
What is known, Allahu Alam, is that of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Abu Musa, I do not know. Like in Abdullah ibn Mas'ud now, and he read portions in Surah An-Nisa to him. I do not know the narration. Somebody was talking, maybe it's a slip of tongue. See, when people talk, they make mistakes.
Then Musa, that person, that Sahaba, read till he reached a verse.
Okay, so you are
41
now. So then they put it
down.
It's Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So that the lab must hold them.
So I don't, that word now, I don't really understand that word, that why is he crying? Is he crying that they don't know now, so why is he crying? Because he cried because of
Yavash. He will be brought as a witness over the people. Allah Ula Ijamiya.
He will now be a witness of the full Ummah. How the full Ummah witness for
the situation of witnessing is the matter. He will have to witness over the people. The big responsibility. The big responsibility. That's what makes him cry. Lower things made the companions to cry. Or the Tabi'un, or those who came after them. So the Prophet took to those tears for the hugeness of the responsibility of testimony over people on the day of Qiyam. Witnessing over the people. Alaykum salam. Well, it one Arafah, and we mentioned the time, and at Muzdalifah jump, and we mentioned the time too. At Safa, at Marwa, that of Safa Marwa will, all of them anyway, will require facing the Qibla. But that of Safa, when you stand on the Safa, you'll be looking at the Kaaba. When you stand on Marwa, you'll be looking at the Kaaba. These four now, then the three Jamrat. Alaykum salam.
There is a watch where along
If they all agree, there is nothing wrong about it. They agree that that's what they should do. Even if they say they will make the person stand up and go out of the door, there is nothing wrong about it. If they say they'll make the person stand up and go out of the booth, there is nothing wrong about it. Some of those who came before us sent people out of their lessons or stopped giving lessons for things that you would consider lesser than that. One of the grandchildren of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas lived up to the time of people like Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. So when he came, when he came to Baghdad, he was seated to give hadith, to teach them hadith that he had heard from his father or from his grandfather, Allahu Alam. Very elderly. So when he came to the masjid, he saw that it was children who were in the front. The elderly people were behind. So what kind of knowledge is that, that the elders are put behind and the children are in front? Anala uhadithukum illa ba'da sana. I will not teach you before any hadith until after 1 year. He died before the end of that year. So they didn't hear anything from him. So learning, majalisul ilmiyah, learning in the sittings of learning have adab. That the pious predecessors, they do not take it easy with not following those adab. Because in their thinking, and that is what is right, those adab help in making the learning itself to have barakah. To have Allah's blessing, impact in the life of the speaker and the listener. So if perhaps the adab of learning and sitting learning and all these have been discussed, and yet people go on flouting and they say, look, if you do this, just like saying if you are late to class, you go back home. I do not see anything that's strange about it. Allahu Allah.
Like this, listening to this one too, when this has been really for us to make and they're supposed to study Tarim, whether you are interested or not, you know, stay for the Tarim.
You had mentioned things like that. Perhaps he had not arrived. You do not compel people to wait for a Tarim. You do not compel the people to wait. The Prophet didn't compel people, alayhi salatu wasalam. He was giving those like that. Some people came into the masjid. Three of them. One came, he sat down with the Prophet, alayhi salam. One came, he sat away from the Prophet, alayhi salam. One came, he turned away. The one who sat away, did he tell you, hey, bundle that guy here? Did he say that? Even when he made statements that anyone who heard it, we want to say, hey, say the one who turned away from what? Allah turned away from him. And Imam Ibn Abdul-Bar meant that he turned away from Allah's mercy. The one who stayed away from the mercy. The one who came close to the mercy. Those are difficult words. And where did he say, oh, there's a companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that his loincloth was at the height of the heads of human beings. He's so tall. Ibn Kathir described him, and he's from the Khuddam of the Prophet, from those who served the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So those giants, did he say, oh, you bundle that guy here? He didn't say that, alayhi salatu wasalam. Oh, you bundle that one. Like people bundle people today. Or they say, go out of the masjid. He may have other hawaij. He doesn't feel that he needs to join the durus. Even when joining the durus is better for him. But if he doesn't feel like joining, is there anything that says he must join? If there is, bring it. Do you understand? Allahu Akbar. I think we have had enough of questions. Today, most of what we had done was just asking questions. And initially, I just thought we should just have a word or two about reading the Quran, but it became like the order of the day. We ask Allah to accept it as an act of worship, to forgive us our mistakes and our shortcomings, make us better Muslims. أَقُولُ مَا أَقُولُ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَن لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ.